Welcome to this Stream Globe Word Encounter Sermon by Pastor Abraham Damilola Arigi. Be blessed as you listen and kindly share with a friend. You can learn more about this ministry by visiting our website at streamglobe.org or devotional.ng. You can also contact us via telephone by calling +234 803 442 0524 or +234 813 822 4547.
Man had both the divine life and spiritual life. You see, man is spirit, soul, and body. God made man physically. Amen. And the way God made man, and the Bible describes the way God made man, that he formed man. The Lord God formed man out of dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Please, I need you to pay attention. It's important for you not to be distracted at this point. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. At that point, man became tripartite. Man had a body. That was what was formed from the dust of the earth. Man had a spirit. That one came from God. When the spirit of man and the body of man came together, man became what? A living soul. So you discover that the soul has attributes, or the soul is a derivative of the body and the spirit. But the soul is also an independent component. That's why man is tripartite. Man is spirit, soul, and body. When God told man that the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die, what was going to happen to man was that man was going to lose the spiritual life and the ability to interact with the divine realm. I hope you know that the serpent that came to tell Eve, if you read the book of Revelation, where you just read, it gave us a description of the devil. He said, that old serpent. Satan walked into the garden. Is Satan a human being? He's a spirit. If not that we have, for example, as I was speaking now, I sense and I don't know whether it was a demon or an angel, something passed by just a few minutes ago. Something passed like this. The reason why I could sense that was because I have been born again. The Bible says, except a man be born again, he cannot see. The kingdom of God is not physical. The kingdom of God is spiritual. It's in the realm. Now, don't get it twisted. These physical things are temporal. The real things that are eternal are the spiritual things. The Bible says that what is seen is temporal. What is unseen is eternal. That realm is heavier than this. You think this realm is heavy? If you have spiritual life, you will realize that this realm is light. That realm is heavier than this realm. That is why when they want to control things in this realm, they go and control it from that realm. Amen? So except a man be born again, he cannot see. The reason why I can sense, my discernment is alive. I can sense the Holy Spirit. A demon just comes and pass, or an angel or something, I can sense it. That is almost as much as if it were a human. Sometimes I will even be confused whether it was a human being. It's because, I was born again. But being born again, you need to grow in the life of God. How many of you have dealt with demon-possessed people and you just knew? I know Brother Yemi can bear witness. He just knows that this person is demon-possessed. And with time, you will know that this person is truly demon. It's because you have a life that can now win. An ordinary person that has no single spiritual life, no spiritual understanding, will not be able to partake in that. Now, let me explain something to you about the soul. Because somebody may be asking, but there are people that are not born again that they can discern. You know that, right? Can we go into that department of the soul? Okay, you see, remember, the soul of man is a derivative of the spirit of man that came from God and the body of man. The soul of man can still behave a lot like the spirit of man. In fact, there are many times that when we talk about soulish power, we are talking about spiritual power. When you say latent power of the soul, it's spiritual power. The difference between soulish power and spiritual power, the one that comes from God, is that soulish power is at the instance of man. Spiritual power is at the instance of God. What I mean is that soulish power is controlled by man. So a man can come now and do like this. People that have done all those kind of training and do like this, do like this, do like this, and do something. And this laptop will open just because it did his hand like this and is using soulish power. You know, Watchmani wrote a book called The Latent Power of the Soul. It's a very small book, very good book. I recommend it for all of you to read it. Because people can harness their soulish power and it's futility. But the spirit, but the power of the spirit. Amen. Because when you became born again, you became spiritually alive. Because with, if you can train yourself, you can discipline yourself. And most of those disciplines will also look like the laws of God. Because the laws of God are just eternally true. What I mean is that there are some things that if you don't do, they will make you to have power spiritually. There are some things that if you do, they will make you to have power spiritually. For example, it is easier for you to harness the power of the soul if you are calm. Sorry, that's a digression. Now, God said that the day you eat of this fruit, you will surely die. Now, I want to explain to you the reason why even till today, occultic people, in order for them to be able to speak in the realm of the spirit, they will kill an animal. They will kill an animal, do animal sacrifice, and then it will buy them airtime to be able to do some spiritual negotiations. And it depends on the power of the negotiation that they want to do. If it is a if they really need to do the negotiation very well, they will use a serious animal like a ram. Because a ram is more valuable than a fowl. Are you understanding the point I'm making? Amen. Okay. So, in the old covenant, when people did animal sacrifices, what they were really doing was that they were just trying to buy, they were trying to buy time. It was making an atonement for their souls. It was just trying to buy time for them. It was making atonement for their souls. And they needed to always keep doing those sacrifices so that they will continue to have air time with God. What were priests? Priests were people, take note of this, priests were people that made intercessions. They spoke to God on behalf of the people. But you agree with that, with me, that the book of Hebrews says that the priest couldn't go without, he couldn't go without blood. Because blood, the blood of those innocent animals, amen, was buying for them the air time that they were going to use to talk with the divine realm. And because we are dead, human beings are spiritually dead. Even when people want to talk with even spirits that are not even the Holy Spirit, they want to talk with fallen angels, they still use animal sacrifice. Because in this our state, we don't have life. It's just like this laptop does not have life in this our realm. We don't have life in the realm of the spirits. So that's why it's called that in order for people, even till today, we are in utter. Every now and then you see sacrifices all over the place. And every now and then you discover that people also do animal sacrifice. Why do they do animal sacrifice? If you've ever been into the occult, maybe before you were born again, you will agree with me that there are many things you cannot do in the occult without doing sacrifice. What is the use of that sacrifice? It is to give them airtime in the realm of the spirit. Because what sin does, and everybody is a particle of sin, is that it took away our life and our ability to participate in that realm. Before Adam and Eve fell, Eve could have a conversation with Satan the way you and I are having a conversation. Do you know why? Because she was alive in that realm. So there was really no difference between the spiritual realm and the physical realm. She could see, in fact, I am one of those people that is convinced that the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil is not a physical fruit. Because it didn't produce physical death. Now, the reason why it was ultimately going to produce physical death, amen, are we together? Is because the way human beings are, our lives are sourced from the spirit realm. And not even just human beings. And because of that, if you die spiritually, you are eventually going to die physically. The Bible says that the spirit of a man sustains him in infirmity. If your spirit is healthy, are we together? If your spirit is healthy, If your spirit is really healthy, infirmity, it will be very difficult for even infirmity that kills people to kill you. And by healthy, I don't mean the way you measure the health of your spirit is by the amount of life it has. So when we say we have everlasting life, eternal life, that's we have life that cannot end. That's this the life you have when you are born again, the devil cannot kill it. That's why if you absent in the body, you die physically, you are present with the Lord. An unbeliever does not have that privilege because he doesn't have life that can interact with the Lord. While we are in this body of flesh, as long as this body is still limited and in this state, it is actually a limitation. It is what? A limitation. So, Eve did not need spiritual eyes to be opened in order for her to see the devil and talk with the devil and eat a fruit that was spiritual. Because she was alive in that realm. But as soon as they ate that fruit, death set in. And now today, you find a human being that there are 15 demons inside his bedroom and he does not know. It will take a man that has spiritual life and that has trained himself in the way of spiritual life to enter that room and say, there are demons inside this room. That's why you cannot pray. Are you understanding what I'm saying? You won't. Adam and Eve, before they fell, they will know. They will know the way they will know if a human being walked into their room. Now, let's go on. The way the saints overcome the devil was by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. By the blood of the Lamb and by what? Their testimony. Remember, the purpose of this study is for us to understand the blood of Jesus. Why the blood of Jesus and how to appropriate or how to apply the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus, he works. But you know, I use the illustration of the way the fan works. All you need to know about the fan, as somebody who doesn't have advanced knowledge in these things, is just to know how to put it on. But there are some people that even if this switch is not here, they know how to put on the fan. They know the wires to join and the fan will come on. It's called advanced knowledge. And this is an advanced class. Now, the blood is the answer to Satan's accusations. The blood of Jesus is the answer to Satan's accusation. Now, when Jesus Christ came, now listen to me, this is a very important point. Why animal sacrifices were working before God? Because animal sacrifice today may still work before principalities. I know that principalities and powers are the lowest cadre in God's creation of authority. I hope you know that. How many of you were in the class 2 weeks ago? Thrones, dominions, the organogram of God's creation, there is thrones, dominion, then there is principality, and then there is powers. The highest category in God's authority structure is thrones. And what have we been called to inherit? Thrones. The Bible says, and I saw they, and thrones were given to them, and the authority to judge. And I also saw those who were beheaded for the sake of judgment. He was talking about the millennial reign. Thrones. Then we have dominions. What did God give Adam? Dominion. That was actually higher than what the devil. Because what does the devil have? Because rebellion happened in heaven. And rebellion had always happened in the realm of principality and powers. Amen? Angels are principalities and powers. Ephesians talks about how through the church, the manifold wisdom of God will be made known to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. That is including all the fallen angels and the devil. Amen? But you see God that by the time the culmination of all things have come, what you are going to inherit, if you abide in Christ and you are faithful, is that you inherit a throne. Amen. And what you are, and the people that will inherit the throne, is from now that they will inherit it too. It's all that the throne will be given to them when the Lord appears. Do you understand what I'm saying? As you grow in God, you will know by the time you have been given a throne. The way you will know you have been given a throne is that you have the authority to judge. And so you discover that Apostle Paul, for example, who was an apostle, by the time you enter into your office, amen, whatever your office is, and it takes maturity to enter into your office. You have been given a throne. You will only inherit the throne and receive the throne practically when the Lord returns. But one of the signs that you have been given a throne, and everybody in the kingdom of God is supposed to have a throne. It's not everybody that will have a throne, but everybody is supposed to. That's why it's called the kingdom of kings and priests. What do kings have? Thrones. When Jesus Christ was telling his disciples that judge not, it was not just talking. He understood that these were people, and all the people that are coming after them are people that will inherit thrones. So they will have the authority and the ability to judge. If by the time you have that authority, you will know. You will know. And if you don't have the authority and you are touching the authority, you will also know. Amen. So the blood of Jesus is the answer to Satan's accusations. The devil's most potent weapon against the believer is his accusations. The reason why the devil can send an arrow to a believer and the arrow will go, are you understanding my point? It's because he has successfully accused that believer and brought condemnation on that believer. And so the way we defend ourselves. Now, what was Job doing when Job was doing animal sacrifices then? Those animal sacrifices were to shut down the accusations of the devil. And because of that, there was an hedge, perpetual hedge around Job. Do you remember that when God was going to recover Job out of that problem, what did God tell Job to go and do? He should make sacrifice. You don't need to make sacrifice now in the new covenant because Jesus Christ has made the ultimate sacrifice for you. And what is the sacrifice about? It is about the shedding of blood. Are you understanding this point? It's about what? The shedding of blood. So when you say the blood of Jesus, what you are actually doing is that you are invoking the sacrifice of Jesus. Please, when you are pleading the blood of Jesus, don't just plead as a ritual. Remember the sacrifice of Jesus. What is the sacrifice of Jesus? We know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, although he was rich. Yet for our sakes, he became poor. I hope you know that riches is talking about is not just material riches. It includes material riches. But it includes life and light. It is the reason why you can tell a demon, "Kai," and the demon will leave. It's the reason why you know you have authority to trample over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. 10 minutes and we're out of here. 10 minutes, that's my plan, and we're out of here. So, these 10 minutes, the Lord will help us. When you talk about blood, we have a high priest in heaven. Last week, there was an assignment that I gave. Do you remember the assignment? Okay, those of us that were here 2 weeks ago, that we should check the place in Hebrews that talks about the blood, the sin of man polluting the things in heaven. And we actually looked at that last week. For those of us that follow the live streaming, you'll see that we looked at that last week. The blood of bulls and rams could not atone for the sins of man. You know why they could not atone for the sins of man? Because human beings are not bulls and rams. They don't have the quality to atone for the sin of man. And the blood of any other man cannot atone for the sin of man. You know why? Because any other man is a sinner. A sinner's blood cannot atone for a sinner. You need a righteous man, a sinless man, in order for his blood to atone for your sins. And that was why Jesus Christ had to come. Now, Jesus Christ came and he offered his blood in heaven's temple as a sacrifice and atonement for your sins. What that means is that it is because of the blood of Jesus. You know, the accusations of the devil are that he should die. And there are different manifestations of death. Death is the reason why somebody will work hard, and their business will not prosper. It's a form of death. Failure is a form of death. Curses is a form of death. Death is the reason why somebody will invest his time and resources and we expect a certain result and it will not come. That's death. Death is the reason why somebody will go to school, graduate, and not be able to get a job. A lot of what you see going on in this country is a product of debt. Debt. Debt is the reason why a man will... Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the reason why somebody will just wake up in the morning and start feeling back pain and they will say it is a kidney problem. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the reason why you have malaria once in a while. And you know that it's not every malaria that is ordinary. You know what I mean? There are malaria that is actually demonic attack. You know, you call it ordinary malaria. Malaria is one of the top killers in the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? That is the reason why people are in pain. So when you talk about this, what the sacrifice of the blood of Jesus does for us is that it atones. It speaks against death. It speaks against sickness and disease. It speaks against poverty. Yes, it does. You know, one of the ways you check if you are blessed is do something with your hands and see whether it will prosper. Then you know that you are blessed. Because if you are blessed and you are doing something, God cannot bless. If you are not doing anything, what will God bless? Do a business and let the blessing of God find expression. You understand what I'm saying? Do something that God can bless and check whether you have that life flowing in you. Because the Bible says it's like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He brings forth his fruit in due season. His leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Whatsoever. Now, because of the sacrifice, you remember that those people that understood spiritual things, people like Job, why Job was so blessed. You notice that even when Job's children were doing party, he will really do sacrifice so that in case they have said what they are not supposed to say. Do you remember the story of Job? Job was a man that understood spiritual things and he was also a very hardworking man. And so the blessing of God found expression naturally in his life. And he enjoyed the protection of God. You see, the reason why you will enjoy the protection of God in this New Testament economy is because you know how to appropriate the sacrifice of Jesus. How then do we apply the blood of Jesus? Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. Read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. 5 minutes. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. And almost all things are purged with blood. What is purged? Are cleaned with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So how is the blood applied? Now, do you remember when the people of Israel, that's the first time that you see in the law, and you know the law and the prophets, what Moses brought was a shadow of what Jesus was bringing. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Are you understanding? Moses was a foreshadowing of Jesus. He was the purest foreshadowing of Jesus. Do you understand what I'm saying? I will send a prophet like unto you. And he was talking about Jesus Christ in his prophetic capacity. And God was telling Moses that he will send a prophet like unto him that will come. And that prophecy was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, do you remember that one of the first times that you saw the people of Israel using blood according to God's prescription was when during the Passover, when the angel of death was going to come and kill everybody. I hope you know that the reason why the angel of death did not kill the people of Israel was because of the blood of the lamb that they put on their doorpost. For the people of Israel that didn't put the blood of the lamb on their doorpost, did their firstborn die? Yes. Why are you looking at me? Are you not following what we are saying? Or you don't know the story? You don't know the story? Please watch Prince of Egypt. Go and read Book of Exodus. Amen. Prince of Egypt is a movie that talks about, you know, there are so many movies about Moses, the Ten Commandments and all of that. Now, the first time you will see, that's a vivid example of how the blood was applied. They killed the lamb. They put the blood in a basin. Then they took hyssop. Hyssop is a very common plant. It's like Which common plant do we have here?
It's like, I don't know. You know, I didn't really grow up in this area. I grew up in the north. I would have called it a very common plant. It's like, which common plant do we have here now? Like, it's like stubborn grass. But it's not really a grass. It has leaves. But it's a very common plant in the Middle East. It's a very common plant in the Middle East. You can check it up on Google. And so they took hyssop, and that was the instruction of God. And they used hyssop to apply. You were not to use your hand to apply it. You were to use hyssop. And if you even check all the times that the blood was sprinkled in the temple, it was usually sprinkled with hyssop. Or hyssop, I don't know, but the pronunciation I know is hyssop. It's a plant. So they take that plant, they dip it in the blood, and use it to rub their doorpost. And after that, the angel of death couldn't enter that house that the doorpost had the blood on. And our high priest actually applies the blood on our behalf. Do you understand? When they now entered into the temple life, which are more serious things, because you must understand how to apply the blood of Jesus as a means of protection. It's not out of order when you see people are inside trouble. Maybe they are in a car, or they are in a plane, and the plane is doing as if it will crash. They now notice that Christians start shouting, "The blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus." They understand, somehow we have understood by tradition that the blood of Jesus wards off the spirit of death. Amen? Because that lamb that they were using in the book of Exodus was just pointing to the Lamb of God that would take away the sins of the whole world. The reason why that was working before God was because God knew there was already an arrangement from the foundation of the world. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The people that are doing that now, animal sacrifice now, after Jesus Christ have come, are doing it in error. They are doing it to communicate with principalities and powers. They cannot communicate with God that way again. God has brought a new and living way through the body of Jesus. So they had to dip the hyssop inside the basin of blood and rub it on their doorpost, on the lintel. And when they did that, it was the way they were effectively applying the blood. First and foremost, I need you to understand that there was a way that they applied the blood to prevent themselves from death. Remember, I just explained death. Death has different ramifications and dimensions. Secondly, the priests apply the blood on behalf of the people on a daily basis in the temple. And that was one of the reasons why the people of Israel could remain holy and sanctified unto God until our Lord Jesus Christ came. You have a high priest over God's house. What is his name? Jesus. That's one of the messages. In fact, the book of Hebrews is the New Testament book of Leviticus. The book of Hebrews reveals that we have a high priest over God's house. And that high priest did not go with the blood of bulls. He went into the temple of God. There's a temple in heaven. Remember when Moses was told to construct a temple? He was to construct a mirror or a shadow of what he saw in heaven. My 10 minutes is done. What are we going to do now? You know, Shane, remember from the beginning of this class, I told you that this particular thing that we're talking about is advanced. How many of you have attended for that mass class before? When you were in secondary school, you know, it's more advanced than mass. Now, here's the point, so that we'll just leave with something. How do you apply the blood of Jesus in your life as a believer? First and foremost, you apply the blood of Jesus as a priest over your life. Using hyssop. What is the hyssop? He says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The way God's... Amen? Now, there are things that the word of God says that the blood of Jesus does for you. There are things that the word of God says that the blood of Jesus does for you. Use those words and remember those words and say those words. For example, by the blood of Jesus, your sins are cleansed. You can recite it. By the blood of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. By the blood of Jesus, you are cleansed from all unrighteousness. By the blood of Jesus, you are delivered out of the hand of the devil. It's in the scripture like that. By the blood of Jesus, you overcome the devil. We just read that in scripture. remember those words. For example, you know, before you use the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you remember it first, right? But you know, most of the time, you also have to say it. Amen? He said, we therefore, having the same spirit of faith, we believe and we speak. We believe and therefore we speak. One of the things that faith does is that faith speaks. Now, when you are confessing something, what's the difference between speaking and confessing? When you are confessing something, you are saying something that is the way it is. So, for example, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, it means that you have accepted him first in your heart, then you are confessing him with your mouth as Lord. When a witch is confessing that she's a witch, she's saying the way it is. It's different from a proclamation of faith. A proclamation of faith is that you are saying the way it should be. Amen? You see, the reason why you confess that Jesus is Lord is that before you confess that he was Lord, he was already Lord. You're only now admitting it. Let us read Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 14. Hebrews 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 14. And that will be our closing scripture. Hebrews 3 verse 1 and 4 verse 14. Bro, let me read Hebrews 3 verse 1 for us, please. Yes.
And so, dear brothers and sisters who belong to God, are partners with those who are with those called to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Think carefully about this Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and righteous.
Think about Jesus, whom we declare to be God's messenger and high priest. Let me read from King James. It says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. Some, I think New American Standard will say of our confession. Do you profess Jesus to be your high priest? Do you remember that in order for you to be saved, you had to make a confession? What I'm saying is that in order for the blood of Jesus to work for you, I'm trying to differentiate it from the general on switch. We are now looking at the advance of the blood of Jesus. You must confess. Are you understanding my point? You must confess that Jesus is Lord. And you must remember that the reason why you have a right standing with God is because of the sacrifice of Jesus. Tell your neighbor, remember. You see, that's why the Holy Spirit, one of the things he does is to help us to remember. He will bring these things to our remembrance. Please, don't forget. When the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, it's not a joke, it's true. You know why? Because if you are in Christ Jesus, then the blood of Jesus covers you. And if the blood of Jesus is the reason why you have right standing with God, are you understanding what I'm saying? Listen to me. Without the blood of Jesus, even in the Old Testament, without the blood of bulls and cows and lambs, people could not have right standing with God. Oh, I hope you know that. No matter how much they obey the Ten Commandments and the 613 laws of Moses, they couldn't have right standing with God. You know why? Because sin is not just about what you do and what you don't do. You know, there's what they call sin of commission and sin of omission. It's an expression. Sin is about what you are. We were born with a sinful nature. But now that you are in Christ, amen, the blood of Jesus is the reason why. Do you remember, if you read 1 John, it says that if we walk in the light as he is in the light, he says we have fellowship with one another and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It's a continuous process. In that sense, if we confess our sins until you get rid of this body of sin, you will need that continuous process. Because if you are not in Christ and that process is working for you, you will just discover how sinful you are. Because this body, the Bible calls it, that Romans chapter 8 that we read, it says this body of corruption and the grave. Let us pray. Let's stand up. Let's rise up. If you read Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22, it talks about the high priest again, and it talks about our confession. The easiest way to activate the office of Jesus as your high priest is by confession, by making certain confessions. When you confess something, it means that you are agreeing and you are affirming it into your reality. Are you understanding what I'm saying? See, there is network flying all over the place. There are all kinds of GSM network. But the network will not be inside this room if you don't have a receiver to trap it into this room. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you put on a radio now, in order for you to hear the radio station, there's Hebron radio going on now.
if you tune to the frequency, you'll be able to hear Hebron radio. That's the way you tune to the frequency of Christ. And you begin to appropriate what Jesus is doing in the temple of God. It is by your confession. By saying what is already going on. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And confession helps you to remember. I want us to pray, Lord, help me to remember. Help me to remember. Help me to remember. The next time you are saying the blood of Jesus, please think about the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about the sacrifice of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is not just a mantra. It speaks of the sacrifice, the life of Jesus. God becoming flesh, dying on the cross for you, taking your place. Jesus standing before the throne of God, making intercession daily for you. That is what you are calling, you are invoking when you say the blood of Jesus.